Are you happy? All right. We could say it a different way. Are you hungry? You show me what a person's hungry for, and I'll tell you what kind of person you are. If you're hungry for money and power and wealth in this world, you don't amount to much. Anybody can be hungry for that. There's nothing wrong with working towards being well off, because it's ill-gotten gains or messing other people out of stuff is what gets you in trouble. That's what God will condemn you for. So to be happy is to be blessed. And naturally, you know I'm coming to the Beatitudes, don't you? So open your Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Makar is a Greek word, kind of the prime, makarios being the full word. It can be translated blessed or happy, supremely blessed. Now, what does it mean to be supremely blessed? It's not just talk. It means you truly are in your life, in your endeavors. You're a blessing not only to, he is not only a blessing to you, but you're a blessing to others that you come in contact with. You show me somebody that doesn't care about other people, and I'll show you a person God is not using and is not going to use with that frame of mind. Every bit of knowledge and wisdom that you gain should be to share with others. That's what you're going to be wanting it for. If you expect God, you know, you have a lot of people that say, well, I want this special prayer that this old boy prayed and it just got him everything. Well, he was a righteous man and he was praying for things to help other people, not himself, and therefore the prayer was answered. It wasn't the man's name, the man, or anything else. It's what was in his heart and his mind. Okay. So you can tell by that and know by that that God uses whomsoever he will. But it is that person. You know, love generates within each one of you. And it extends out. It is your spirit entwined with the Holy Spirit. And number one, you can't con God. He knows whom he can use and who he can't. And he knows who's honest and who isn't. So true happiness, by being blessed from him, is a fantastic thing. Let's talk about the Beatitudes here a second, and let's understand what it is you're supposed to be hungry for. And that might help a lot of people. It's pure basics, but sometimes we need to go back to basics to get right to the truth. Let's go to chapter 5, the great book of Matthew. Let's start in verse 3 with the Beatitudes. Blessed or makar, happy are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. That is to say, those that in spirit are not totally concentrating on riches, but God's kingdom. What it takes to get there, what it takes to be blessed. And again, I want to insist, there is no sin in being rich. There's no sin in being very rich. The sin can be in how you got it. Okay, that's what makes the difference. Understand what it's saying basically is your primary reason for being should be to further the kingdom. Who is that? The King, Christ, and the dominion, his dominion, which is this world. Verse 4, blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. That doesn't mean in heaven, it means today. That mourn for what? That mourn for this world and the sinners that are in it, that are misled, misguided, lied to, fed bad food, spiritually speaking. Then you can mourn for them, but you will be comforted. Verse 5, blessed are the meek. That's the humble, for they shall inherit the earth. Humble what? The humble before Christ. To be a servant of his, to know that it is Christ that accomplishes things, not man. Man is nothing. I mean, in our flesh bodies, we fall. If you ever follow a man, you're in trouble. Don't ever follow this man or any other man. Follow Christ. He will never let you down. He will never disappoint you. Man will, okay? Unfortunately, at times. Verse 6, blessed are they which do hunger. This is why we came here. Blessed, makar, happy are those that hunger and thirst after what? After righteousness, for they shall be filled. Now, we can, again, as I stated, I can tell you by knowing what a person is hungry for, and hey, you can tell. You don't have to be around them 5 minutes. You know what they're craving. You know what they're hungry for. And you can spot them just like that. Does that mean you're investigating people? No, it's just natural. That's just the way it is. It's what a person is made up, what their makeup. And God wasn't playing games when he said, happy are those that thirst and are hungry for righteousness. What does that mean? For those that do the right thing. For those that are on the right path. Those that are hungry to see that others find that path. You should be a funnel that funnels people into that path, into that way. Because that's where happiness comes from. And you should have it today. Well, I just have so many other problems. What's foremost in your mind? Your problems or happiness? You know, it's what is your choice? You want to be, well, I just have to have something to worry about. Well, that's not, that'll get you in big trouble, my friend. Because your worry won't make it happen or keep it from happening. It's going to put you off guard whereby you're not going to make the better decisions of your life. Let me put it a different way. You're not going to be the brightest bulb in the box. You know, if you're worried, your brightness just dims considerably because you're thinking about yourself and what's going to happen. You know, and I'm just, Lord, I hope it's not me. Well, be happy. God promised. He said, those that search and are hungry for righteousness, I'm going to see that they're happy. He meant it. And he always, I mean always, comes through. And you can count on it. What I suppose you can judge a person by their frame of mind and thought. And, you know, I don't want to make anybody feel bad, but what really I'm talking about, you can tell about a person's faith as to whether they really believe it or not. Well, it's written, it's the Bible. That's not faith. Faith is to know the Bible. What does Bible mean? It's biblit. It comes from the lentil tree, the bark of the lentil tree. That's where the word comes from, the etymology of the word. Well, why the lentil, bark of the lentil tree? Because that's what the Bible originally was written on. The bark, okay? And that's how the word biblit, Bible, came to be. It's the word itself, not what it's written on, that should make you happy and that you must have faith in and that you must believe. And to know you've got a lot to be happy for because he has his eye on you. He has his eye on every sparrow. So why do you think he wouldn't have his eye on you? Especially if you're hungering for righteousness. That means the right path to do right, to be right as best you can. Nobody's perfect. We all slip up at times. We all have bad days. But the sun comes up every morning and you should enjoy it. You might say, well, what if it's cloudy? Well, get in your jet and pop up above it. It's up there. Trust me. It's always there. No problem, and you can still be happy. Okay? So, turn with me to John chapter 6. John 6 here. What does a happy person partake of? What does a hungry person partake of? Now, I'm going to tell you what Christ has just done here. They were out in the wilderness, desert. 5,000 people following him around. Just, asking questions and wanting to be blessed, and there's no quick trip, there's no restaurants. I mean, there is nothing hardly except a little kid with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Okay, 2 fish. And they wanted to see a miracle. The miracle was that he blessed the loaves and the fish and fed all 5,000. But what did he do? He said, keep them in order. Set them down by groups of 50. God doesn't like mobs. He doesn't like people yelling and carrying on. It's with order and discipline do you serve him. And he fed them this great multitude. So they weren't hungry anymore. But do you know something? Just because he filled their tummies did not mean they were saved. It did not mean that they had gained what a person really should gain. And he would even use the analogy, when you get a bunch like that together, 5,000 of them, you better be careful what kind of crumbs you pick up after it's over with, because people carry bad doctrine. It's the doctrine you'll get from individuals, large crowds, that will turn hearts away from God. So even within his miracle, he taught, watch the nuts. Because the world is full of them, my friend. You got a lot of them out there that classify themselves. Well, you don't understand, brother. I read the Bible through. Hey, did God call you? That's where the difference comes. Well, how can you tell? You don't have to ask. You can tell. If they're blessed with the ability, God will take care of his own. No problem, okay? And you're never going to find a perfect one. But the Word is perfect. And that's why you should angle and steer for the Word and let it be the governor of your life, because he, Christ, is the living Word. That's what he really, with he standing before them, providing the miracle, he was the real food that was there for them, not the bread and the fish. He was the living Word. And as you all know, make a note, Amos chapter 8, verse 11, the famine of the end times is not for bread, but for hearing the Word of God. The Word of God taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse with understanding. You can have somebody blab off for an hour about Aunt Jane and so on and so forth, but go where God's Word is taught chapter by chapter and verse by verse, and leave man out of it and his traditions, because that will always shortchange you. Okay? So this is what he had done. He had just fed them the loaves of bread, that in itself being a miracle, and he took off. He went across the coast there, and so did his disciples. And man, that whole crowd, you talk about a big church, they want to find Jesus. They really want to find him. Do you know what for? Do you know why? For another fish sandwich. That's sad, isn't it? But look around you in the world today at those that are chasing fish sandwiches instead of what saith the Lord. What saith the Word? What does it have for me? And you can lose your happiness, my friend. You can sure lose your happiness. All right. They should have been searching for him because of the message he carried. Because he was the only begotten. Because he was the Son of God. Okay, so let's pick it up, if we may, in John chapter 6. Pick it up with verse 26. And they come up looking for him, okay? Jesus answered them and said, verily, verily, I say unto you, you seek me not because you saw the miracles, not because you saw people healed or you were fed out where there was nothing, but because you did eat of the loaves and were filled, because I fed you food. 27. Labor not, I repeat, not, for the meat which perisheth, but for that meat which endureth unto everlasting life, which the Son of Man shall give unto you, for him hath God the Father sealed. God the Father sent Emmanuel. It was spoken of in the Old Testament that he would come exactly where he would be born. Who, basically, born to a virgin. And the great book of Daniel even gives you the date in which he would be born, basically. The season, whereby you would know, period. No guesswork. And yet he was refused and not accepted by the majority. And when he began to perform the miracles in the sight of man, of course, people like to follow miracles. My, isn't that something? But they fail to get the meat, the true meat, the meat that lasts. Like the woman that was even a foreigner that went to the well. And he said, you drink of this water and you'll never thirst again. And it wasn't the water out of Jacob's well. It was that water that is Christ, the living water, the truth. This is why when you teach, you always weave a net. When you're fishing for men, you weave a net of truth. Don't you have one lie or one misleading quote in it as best you can. And you take that net and you cast it and you fish with it and you draw people not to you, but to him. And you will always be blessed. You'll always be happy. You will be successful. He has guaranteed it. He spoke it. It is the truth, and it is a fact. Your faith can strengthen and dwell upon that and know God blesses those that serve him, period. He does it. And it doesn't matter what capacity you're serving him in. Verse 28, then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? How is it that we can work for him and please him? 29, Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent. Now, it is a work because you would have to go back into the Old Testament and you would have to search out where God promised him, where God himself promised that that one would come, where he would be born, approximate date he would be born, what you would name him even, Emmanuel, God with us. There's not too much room for error within that, my friend, but yet many people wrestle with it, and they do not find that blessedness, that happiness that is promised by the Beatitudes. And unfortunately, sometimes they take Matthew 23 when the opposite of the Beatitudes is written, the woes. And woe is their life. It's sad, real sad. Verse 30. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Now I want you to stop and think. This bunch of clowns has the nerve. I'm rightly calling them clowns. They were. He fed them in the desert with five loaves and two fish and had healed people. Do you call that a miracle? If you had seen that, you would have been in awe. See how deadheaded they were. They were blinded. And so why am I stressing that? Because I don't want you to be too disappointed when you run across blind people today. When you have a truth that they should just grab onto, and they snuff at you. They laugh. Well, there's nothing new under the sun. Who do you think you are? They snuffed at Jesus. Are you better than Jesus? I don't think so. I don't think you even make a part of a shadow to Messiah. So what I'm telling you is when people are blind, they're blind spiritually. They cannot see. They cannot get out of this world. They're prisoners here. You are not of this world. Do you know where that is written? That's biblical. John chapter 17. Christ said, I'm not of this world, neither are those that you have given me. But we have work to do here, and that work is to take that same bunch of clowns and try to convert them, try to get them to see. And so I find it very difficult in my mind when someone, you see, this is why you are so blessed. You haven't seen miracles like that. You've seen miracles. Sometimes when you live in a new age, you don't recognize miracles when you see them. There is a miracle not even 300, I'm going to say yards, because it's from here. It's right down this hill here. When I was born, at that time, came into this world, there was no way, you know, sometimes you could get a telephone, hello, and the little lady would say, number please. And now, we have satellite. We push a button, I'll oversimplify, and we go around the world with that net of truth. My friend, that is a miracle. And a lot of people don't even recognize it. Well, it's just a satellite. Wake up. Wake up. Jesus said greater thing, and he was preaching to this bunch, or another bunch, maybe about this size, and he said, greater than this will you do, naturally with his help. Okay, he's the one that really does it, we don't. But you see, there are miracles today, and some people are right in the middle of it, and they don't feel it. They don't see it. And they lose their happiness because they let the world rob them. Satan is a thief. He'll take it right away from you if you give him that chance, okay? So they did not recognize, show us something, do something, give us a sideshow here, they said to him. Verse 31. Our fathers did eat manna in the desert, as it is written. He gave them bread from heaven to eat. Isn't that funny that he gave them bread in the desert and he was from heaven? You see, they're blind. And he's quoting Exodus 16:15. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Moses didn't do it. You see how man likes to look at man? But my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. It was he that did it. And it is Father that gives them the true bread from heaven, which is Christ himself, standing before them. He that blessed the bread and passed it among them in groups of 50. Five loaves. What does five mean in biblical numerics? Grace. His grace. By his grace are they saved. For the bread of God is he which cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. This world age, those that, how could you make it without him? I tell you, you could not. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. We'll take it. Just give it to us. We'll take it. It's a little more to it than that, isn't there? Like a lot of people will say, my child was baptized. I'd like to get that too. A little more to it than that. 35. And Jesus said unto them, I am, that being the sacred name, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me shall never hunger, and he that believeth on me shall never thirst. Are you hungry? Then go to his word. He will fill you. He will protect you. Are you thirsty? Take his word. It will give you life. It will bring you happiness. Are you happy? This is the way you find it, through him. You see, if you're a happy one, he can use you because your faith is shining like a bright light in a dark world. And people seek that and starve for it. The truth that is Christ before us. I am that bread, he said. The bread that is the famine of the end times. Why? Because our own government has allowed judges in to... We'll take the blame for it. We allowed a bunch of liberals to get in and appoint judges that are atheist and are not Christian and will make judgments against Christianity. No Christian need apply. But hey, we can fix that. We can fix that. Remember it in come Novembers, okay? I'm not telling you who you got to vote for. You know. And when you partake of that bread, you'll never be hungry because you'll be happy because you can share that. You know, what is he saying to you? I may give you a little truth, but it'll go around. There'll be plenty to go around. Don't be afraid to share it. Let your little light shine, friend. It'll always be brightened up. When that'll never run out. It's like the widow's oil. It'll never run out. When it's coming from him, he will take care of you. 36, but I said unto you that ye also have seen me and believe not. Hey, I'm here. You saw me do the loaves. You don't believe. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. There are God's election, and God's election do come to him. He will not cast them out. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. His Father, our Father, Emmanuel, that was actually God with us in this dimension. And this is the Father's will which hath sent me, that of all which he hath given me, I should lose nothing, but should raise it up again at the last day. Think about John chapter 17 for a moment when it said, I have lost only he, the son of perdition. Who is that? Satan. Made a way for all the others. This is why you will hear me say very boldly, I do not believe one of God's elect will commit the unpardonable sin. Because they find Satan an abomination, not a temptation. Okay, this is his promise. I'm not going to lose a one of them. And this is the will of him that sent me. This is the will of God. Listen to it. That every one which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. That's two times for emphasis. You can count on it. The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Do you know what they said? Well, wait a minute. And they said, is not this Jesus the son of Joseph? Can you answer that? No. He wasn't Jesus the son of Joseph. Joseph wasn't his father. Only by marriage was he, by adoption, so to speak. That's not to take anything away from Joseph, but I just want you to keep your mind straight. God was the father of Jesus, okay? Whose father and mother we know, they live right down there. He's a carpenter, drives nails, has a saw. How is it then that he saith, I come down from heaven? 43, Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. He knew what they were saying and what they were thinking. He can read your mind, my friend. He loves you. He knows you. No man can come to me except the Father which hath sent me draw him. And I will raise him up at the last day. That's three times he's made that statement. That's a triple guarantee from the very mouth of Christ. It is written in the prophets, and they shall be all taught of God. Every man, therefore, that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Nothing new about it. It's in the Old Testament. You were long and forewarned. Even back then, through this same Messiah, the one standing before them that day. Verse 46. Not that any man has seen the Father, save he which is of God. He has seen the Father. Do you know why you could not see the Father today? He's in a different dimension. That's why in the flesh you will never see him. Flesh and blood cannot enter the kingdom. Doesn't mean they're not a member of it. They just can't go into it. Why? Wrong dimension, friend. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. That's enough to make you happy, friend. That's something to be happy about, is that you are with him forever. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness and are dead. They're deader than a hammer. Even though that food came down from heaven. You see, Christ is a different bread. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. I mean, have everlasting, eternal life. Your flesh body might die. As a matter of fact, we will be changed. There's no doubt about that. I am the living bread which come down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. And the bread that I will give is my flesh, myself, which I will give for the life of the world. I give this up so the world has a chance for salvation. Why? He was a Savior. That's what his name means, Yahshua, Jesus, which is to say Yahweh's Savior. That was his job. That's what he was about. Not feeding a bunch of dough out into some clowns in the wilderness. That should have jarred their chain just a little bit. But it didn't. They hunted him. I mean, you know, they even rented boats and crossed over. They were going crazy trying to find him for a sandwich instead of the miracle of the truth, the Father from heaven. You know, well, where does it say in the Old Testament that you're never going to hunger or thirst if you love him, and that he's going to send this one that's going to do all this? Well, it's there. It sure is. And guess what? You can be happy because we're going there, all right, right now, okay? Isaiah chapter 49, please. Isaiah chapter 49, we're going to pick it up about verse 7. This is the promise of Messiah. You could even title this chapter Messiah's Call or His Mission, what God intends that Messiah accomplish, which was Jesus walking this earth, feeding the 5,000, teaching them, claiming and saying, which actually he was the bread of life. Verse 7, Isaiah chapter 49. Thus saith the Lord, the Redeemer of Israel. Redeemer, kinsman redeemer. Do you understand that kinship? That's a genetic term, meaning I have the right to claim you, your nearest relative, and his Holy One. Who is his Holy One? Emmanuel. To him whom man despiseth, to him whom the nation abhorreth, to a servant of rulers, king shall see and arise. Even kings snap to. Standard attention in his presence. Princes also shall worship, because the Lord that is faithful and the Holy One of Israel, and he shall choose thee. God chose Messiah. Why? Is Emmanuel, God with us? And on the first day of the millennium, everybody's going to snap to. Every knee will bow, and they're going to know Messiah walked the earth. Messiah was promised even from the Old Testament. We should be happy about it. Okay. You should be blessed today. And you are. Thus saith the Lord, verse 8, in an acceptable time have I heard thee, and in a day of salvation have I helped thee. And I will preserve thee and give thee for a covenant of the people to establish the earth, this earth age, and establish the one coming, to cause to inherit the desolate heritages. This is a fact. Do you know something? You're a part of this. You're a part of that action of Messiah. Why? Because Messiah is in you. He dwells in you. He loves you. And you love him. Verse 9. That thou mayest say to the prisoners, the clowns, all right? Go forth to them that are in darkness, show yourselves. They shall feed in the ways, and their pastures shall be in all high places. In other words, he is the shepherd that feeds. A pastor is a tender of the pasture. And he is the chief shepherd, the chief pastor, the chief teacher. And God sent him. He sent him to you, for you. He knows you. And he sent that one to bless you and to cause you to be happy, fulfilled, complete, because he's with you today. You don't have to wait till heaven to be happy. You don't have to wait till heaven to be blessed. You can be a blessing to others. See that you are. Okay, next verse, 10. They shall not hunger nor thirst, neither shall the heat nor sun smite them. For he that hath mercy on them shall lead them even by the springs, that still water of water which he shall he guide them. That spiritual spring that never runs dry, a truth that flows forth, that makes you complete, that saturates you with his love and his understanding, whereby you can share that love with others, that understanding with others. When it's time to plant a seed, the acceptable time, we're approaching that actual time in which he shall return. You're never going to, he promised it. He's the bread of life. You'll never hunger. I will make all my mountains a way. I'm going to make a road there. You just level. You can walk right on. Go. And my highway shall be exalted above the valley. Who is the way? Christ is the way. He's the road. See that you stay on it. 12. Behold, these shall come from far, and lo, these from the north and from the west, and these from the land of Sinim, that's South China. Sing, O heavens, and be joyful, O earth, and break forth into singing, O mountains, for the Lord hath comforted his people and will have mercy upon his afflicted. Do you feel it? If you touched it, you're a member and a citizen of a great nation that is blessed by him. God blesses America, and America blesses other parts of the world in sharing and in that light, and see that you stay happy within that. And don't hunger. You've got the word. Feed yourself. He will feed you. But Zion, saith the Lord, hath forsaken me, and my Lord hath forgotten me. Can a woman forget her suckling child? That would be absolutely impossible. A woman could tell you better than I. When it comes feeding time, she naturally is going to know. That she should not have compassion on the son of her womb, yea, they may forget, yet will I not forget thee. That's a promise from him. He's never going to forget you. I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. That's his promise to you. Are you happy? You should be. He's given an awful lot. Do you know something? On the cross, he could have backed out. He sure could have. He could have called 1,000 angels and ended it just like that. But look how many souls we would have lost, because, man, look at you around the world today, how many of them there are that are just lost, spiritually dead or in a hammer. Are they worth saving? We're going to find out. We're going to try. That's why we cast that net. That's why we can be happy. We're dragging in from 200 to 600 a day. That's pretty good goings, friend. That's good hoeing. Right. We're going to take that row all the way to the end, too. And that end is when he returns, and the true shepherd returns to Shepherd's Chapel. How precious it's going to be. The chapels of the world. When he takes over, what a fantastic time. In closing, let's go all the way to the book of Revelation. As it was in the beginning, the old and in the new, in the Gospels, so it is in the Revelation. Revelation chapter 7. You know, instantly when one passes away, they go to the Father. And many of them have washed their robes in the Lamb's blood before they, as they walk this earth. And they're not on that other side of the gulf. They're with Him. And He loves them. Let's pick it up in chapter 7, verse 9. After this I beheld the Lord, great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands. Palm leaves, okay, of peace, the sign of peace. And here we have them. Well, I just thought the Israelites was going to heaven. That's not what this says. Okay. It says all those that had washed their robes. 10. And cried with a loud voice, saying, salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne and upon the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell before the throne on their faces and worshiped God. Here's these four Zoom. This will be one of the last times you hear them in the Word of God, okay? The translated beast, they're living creatures, all right? They're God's servants. Saying, amen, count it, blessings, 1, and glory, 2, and wisdom, 3, and thanksgiving, 4, and honor, 5, and power, 6, and might, 7. Spiritual completeness be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, what are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? Look at them, you can't even count them. Let me ask you something. You think we're doing any good? You can't even count them. There's so many. Of course Christ does good. Of course we have a reason to be happy. Of course we have a reason to be blessed. Because many are washing those robes because of you. Because you believe, and because you have the faith to know and understand that His Word must go forth. And so it does. And I said unto him, sir, thou knowest. I don't really know. You know. And he said to me, these are they which came out of great tribulation. Do you consider this world to be great tribulation? Well, it's pretty tough out there, isn't it? But with his help, hey, we can cut it. No problem. It's no step for a stepper, okay? And have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. In other words, his blood on the cross, shed on that cross, sets us free. This is why we came here, verse 15. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple, and he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. That is Shekinah. The Hebrew word, you've heard of Shekinah glory. Shekinah is a Hebrew word that simply means God dwells there. That's where he lives. And that's who he's with, is those that overcome. 16, listen carefully. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. Why? This doesn't change. It's here today if you accept. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of water, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. There will still be a few tears have to be shed, my friend. But His blessings are still here today. We will have times that those tears will come. But mostly there'll be tears of joy. You know, because if you truly believe and know and understand, you'd be surprised, beloved, how many letters, and this is kind of a digression, I won't apologize for it, maybe somebody needs it. You would be surprised how many letters I get from people that have just lost a loved one and say, because of the Word of God, as you teach it and bring it forth, that our loved ones are with Him. I made it through this. Otherwise, I do not think I could have. But I know now they are with the Father. And so they are. Eternal, everlasting life. You know, this everlasting is a word that's kind of neat. You know, you think, well, that means from now on. No, it doesn't. It means from before and now and on. It never ceased to be from the time God created the soul. That's what a lot of people, they misread John 3:16. They say, instead of eternal, it's everlasting. Well, that's kind of, it's translated that way, but eternal, it means. That's why it's wrong, and you've heard me say it before, to say I pre-existed. Because you've never stopped existing. From the time your soul was created until it was time for you to be born of your mother, you were alive in the womb. Your thought process was in the womb. Your soul was in the womb. And then here and then and now on, then forever. He feeds us. He takes care of us. He will never leave us. He will never forsake us. Are you happy? You should be. Because He uses you. And what a blessing it is. When we see the reports and the contacts from the world of changing lives, He does it. We really don't, but boy, He sure uses you. I thank Him for that. Heavenly Father, thank You, Father, for the privilege of serving You. Thank You, Father, for happiness. Thank You for the truth. Be with us. We ask it in Yeshua Jesus' precious name. Amen.
Free introductory package. Say, this is something we would like to offer for a one-time gift to all the new folk that study with us. This introductory package gives you a monthly newsletter, which means each month you will receive a newsletter with a Bible study on it. Hey, raising funds? No way. We're not beggars. We're Bible teachers. That's what it consists of. A tape catalog that will give you all the topics that are covered. And the Mark of the Beast tape. What is this Mark of the Beast? Is it really on your forehead? No, Satan's considerably more intelligent than that. It's in your forehead, which is to say, in your mind. Have you been deceived? This is a free offer to you, one time to each new student. Say, find out what's really happening and what the story is on the Mark of the Beast.
We don't need a new prophet today. Because God has foretold us all things as it is written. Have you read it? All right. Dustin from California. Someone told me to get rid of an addiction, that to get rid of it, I have to give it to God. Can you tell me how to do that? Well, now, if you're a druggie, you wouldn't want to give the drugs to God, would you? I don't think He'd want them. What they're saying, and it seems to me that they've confused you with it, that you've got to turn to God and ask for forgiveness. Now, many times, don't go to making promises to God that, God, I'm going to quit today. This is it. It's going, and then just break it over and over. If you can't do it, ask for strength. Ask for strength to overcome the addiction. And then there are places where you can get really good help to overcome an addiction if that doesn't work. And many people will say, well, you're going to send them to the AA, aren't you? That's what you're talking about. That's no place to get religion. I didn't say to go there for religion. Wash out your ears. I said to go there to find help to get rid of an addiction. You don't go to AA, Alcohol Anonymous, for a religion. You go there for help. Okay? You go to church for religion. Don't confuse the two. Think, okay? There's a lot of ways to have help. Ask His guidance and direction. And He has servants. You know, these people are very experienced in helping people overcome addictions because they have accomplished it themselves or are in the process. They know how to cut it, to handle it. You know, I've never been an alcoholic, so I can pray for an alcoholic, but I've never been there. I don't really know what that would be like. But these people do. They've walked in those boots, and they know what you're going through, and they can help you. I have learned one thing as a pastor and a counselor, that an alcoholic will lie to you. They will cheat. They will steal. They will do anything. And you might con me, but you won't con one that of the, say, the AA that has been there, done that, and knows what you're talking about, okay? You can get a lot of help there. Turn it over to God means to ask His help, basically, all right? I have experienced people turning it over to God, that is to say, asking His help, and like that, they're healed. I have seen it happen, but at the same time, I have been lied to. John from South Carolina. In Revelations chapter 12, where Satan is waging war in heaven and gets kicked out, how can this happen if he is in chains? What will start this war? Where did you read that Satan is in chains? He's only in chains when he hits the millennium. He goes into, I'll quote from Revelation chapter 20. Okay, there he is in bands. He has bands. It is the fallen angels that are in chains, which simply is a figure of speech meaning they're in holding. You'll read of that in the book of Jude. Michael and his angels are quite able to ride herd on Satan as far as his geographical location is concerned. Physically, listen to me, physically, spiritually, Satan is allowed to roam, that is to say, his evil spirit. But what starts the war in heaven is when it's time, as it is written, for Satan to appear on earth as the false Messiah. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verses 1 through 7, or 10, will give you that particular time. Kenneth from North Carolina. And speaking of 2 Thessalonians, Kenneth from North Carolina, in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, verse 3, what does falling away first mean? It means the great apostasy. That is to say that Christians fall away from being Christians. That's what apostasy means, is for one to change instantly or very quickly their professed faith. How does that happen? When Satan appears as Antichrist, they think he's Jesus and start worshiping him. Certainly you fall away from Jesus when you start worshiping Antichrist. That's why it's so dangerous for Christians not to know that this supernatural entity, as it is written in the fourth verse of this, the same chapter, must appear in Jerusalem claiming to be God before the end can come. Period. I mean, a child can understand that, okay? So many people will fall away because they're going to think it is Christ. They're not learned in the simplicity of Christ's teachings, and that is so very sad. It is really sad. Sharon from California, you were teaching in Matthew, and you mentioned Mary Magdalena was betrothed to Jesus, but I can't find the place that says that. Where is it? Now, you added a little bit to the teaching. I would have said we are all betrothed to Christ. That's what the great wedding is about. But you probably heard me saying that you must have a Christian translator doing your, or at least checking your translations for you. For there was a writing found where Mary Magdalena was betrothed to Jesus, and a so-called scholar said Jesus was married. He wasn't. It meant, just as you and I, male and female, are waiting for that great wedding to Messiah, betrothed in that sense, only a Christian can understand that, okay? And so therefore, you must always deal, or if you're wise, with a Christian translator. It's very important. Sharon from Arizona, do you believe in reincarnation? Absolutely not. We are given birth and death one time only. Now, many people, example, one of the most popular cases is where a person lived 400 years before in Spain, even knew a name and a street address. But all it was an evil spirit that had possessed a person that lived at that address and had now possessed this person. And it was the evil spirit speaking and claiming. And that's all reincarnation amounts to, okay, is being usually possessed. Somebody says, I lived three different lives. Well, demons do. But it's not the entity speaking necessarily. It's the evil spirit or the familiar spirit, as they are called in the Old Testament. Sean from Virginia, where does it say Cain was the son of Satan? Well, probably the clearest place is out of the mouth of Jesus. St. John chapter 8, verse 44, he says, ye are of your father the devil, your father who was the first murderer in the beginning. Who was that? Well, it was Cain, of course. And then he continues on and said, ye are of your father the devil. So that gets it said pretty good, okay? And as well as it is said in many other places, I'm out of time. Hey, you know what? I love y'all a lot for a special reason. You enjoy studying our Father's Word in a little more depth, thought, and consideration, and love for Him. But what's most important, it makes His day. He loves you for it. And when you make His day, He's going to make yours. You're going to be in good shape, all right? Let Him know that you love Him. We are brought to you by your tithes and offerings. If we've helped you, you help us keep coming to you. Bless God. He will always bless you. Most important, though, this. You stay in His Word. Every day in His Word is a good day, even with trouble. Do you know why? Jesus, Yeshua, He is the living Word.
Hearing God's Word with understanding will change your life. We hope you have enjoyed studying God's Word here on the Shepherd's Chapel Family Bible Study Hour with Pastor Arnold Murray. If you would like to receive more information concerning Shepherd's Chapel, you may request our free introductory offer. Our introductory offer contains the Mark of the Beast audio tape, our monthly newsletter with a written Bible study, a tape catalog, and a list of written reference works available through Shepherd's Chapel. To request our free introductory offer by telephone, call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day. You may also request our introductory offer by writing to Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. Once again, that's Shepherd's Chapel, Post Office Box 416, Gravette, Arkansas 72736. We invite you to join us for the next in-depth Bible study each weekday at this same time. Thank you for watching today's program, and God bless you.